Good morning. We said it, of course, in the past. We just say good morning because that's what to say. It isn't a good morning at all. Not a good morning at all. Yom HaShoah has been a very, very difficult day. So we continue to pray. I mean, I'm just always amazed, and I'm thinking about it a great deal, how we remain at the center of world attention without let up. Without let up. For 70, 80, or 100 years now, and would there have been mass media before that, we could say that we most probably have been at the center of world interest or concern, most in a negative way, uninterrupted for 2,000 years. It's unbelievable. We are, there's no question about it, we're a special people. I would like to extend the condolences of our group to Annette Gutowski on the passing of her husband. That was before Pesach, was it about 4 or 5 weeks before Pesach? We were out of the country at the time. Her husband was Dr. Alton Gutowski, world class nuclear physicist, most probably very well known in the United States for that matter, and throughout the whole world. Man of great, great accomplishments, and had a dedicated and very devoted wife, and we extend to you the bracha of the Yerushalayim Tenuchamu. He was a very, very, very important man in the world of science, and you know, not too many real former religious scientists around, and he was one of the best. I believe also Rebbe Sinwatfogel. Your husband passed away a number of 4 months ago. 4 months ago. Husband had been rabbi in Philadelphia for how many years? 45 years. 45 years. Where are you living now?
Florida.
You're living in Florida. And 6 months here and 6 months in Deerfield. Okay, we extend certainly now that in Yerushalayim, be in Yerushalayim to Nuchama. All right. The topic for today is chapter 107. Now, rather than just leave you in the dark, I'll tell you exactly why I want to learn chapter 107. Those who got inspired, chapter 107 is read before Mincha every Erev Shabbos. But that's not really the reason why I want to learn it. It's also because chapter 107 is said on the night of Yom HaAtzmaut. Night of Yom HaAtzmaut. And what I really want to explain is why did they choose it for that night? Chapter 107 also expresses a halacha that takes up a section in Shulchan Aruch or Achayim, one that we are involved with I'd say quite often. We have to deal with the chapter and what is the chapter talking about and the halacha. What halacha is it? So in Shulchan Aruch, and it's taken from the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch or Achayim, you don't have this. Arba'a tzrichim lahodos. There are 4 people that have to give thanks to God. Thanks to God is done in one of 2 ways. At the time of the Beit HaMikdash, one who has to give thanksgiving to God would bring a sacrifice called a korban todah, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, which was a very unique and special carbon. We'll talk about that. And today, man goes over to the Sefer Torah and he says a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hagomel Lechayavim Tovot Shegimolani Kol Tov. It's a bracha, and in most cases, of course, somebody who's come from a trip abroad Either he gets an aliyah and he says the bracha after the aliyah, or if he doesn't get an aliyah at the end of the Torah reading, he says the bracha of Hagomel Chayav and Torah Shigmalani Koto. The text of the bracha is very interesting. Hagomel lechayavim, God does good things for people who might be guilty of sin. And despite that, it doesn't make any difference, you know? God may very well do great things for them. Hagomel lechayavim, tovim, does good things. Sometimes God does good things for bad people. Shegemalani, and I thank God that for me he's done kol tov. So usually, fellow came back from a trip. There are those who hold that when you go by plane, you're supposed to say the Birchas Hagomel. We're going to talk in a moment. What about women and Birchas Hagomel? Huh? What did you learn by him? What did he say? What about women? That the women have to. He didn't talk about that. Because I always get this question, and women sort of feel like Birchas Hagomel is a man's thing. What do you mean it's a man's thing? We also go, women also have to go through. After childbirth, a woman should bench Gomel. I mean, a woman may also be in a situation where there is a degree of danger. So I'll tell you what's fascinating. I have always paskin on the basis of the Mishnah Brura. The Chafetz Chaim Mishulchan Aruch says that a woman should do it, because we will see from the Pesukim in this chapter that you need a minyan, and the minyan should include two Talmidei Chachamim. There is a further leniency that says, listen, as long as you have a minyan of 10 men, okay. There's a further leniency. The further leniency is 9 women plus a man, also a minyan maketh. It goes even one step further. 10 women can make up a minyan for benching Gomel. I've always told women, whoever asked me, I'd say at the end of davening, and very often, in order that they should be yoked to that possibility, that according to that sheet that holds that there should be a man there, I would come to the women's section, hold a minyan there, have a say to bracha, and we answer on it. Birchas Hagomel, to thank God for having gone through a period, a process, or an incident that may very well be dangerous. And it doesn't have to be, you know, really dangerous. You need a rabbi that can pass them for you. So certainly, childbirth, I see no reason why women shouldn't say it just like men. Now, what are the four? Before we go further, there are four, the Shulchan Aruch says, four people who have to give thanks to God. The four, by the way, are going to be described in this chapter. The chapter is going to talk about people that travel through a desert, people that go down to the sea in ships, those who are jailed or incarcerated and are free, and a person who was ill and is healed. These are the four. And the Shulchan Aruch says the following. Our boss, Yichon Lahodos, there are four who have to give thanks. Yoridei Hayom, those who go down to the sea, Kisha Olu Mimenu, when they come out of the sea. V'holchei Midbariot, those who go through the desert, Kishi Agil Liyishu, when they arrive at an inhabited area. Umisha Hayachol, one who was sick, V'nitrafei, and became healed. Umisha Hayachol, which Rebeit HaAsurim, V'yatsa, somebody who was incarcerated, he was jailed, and then he went out free. These people have to say the bracha Baruch Hagomel Chayavim Tovei Shigmalani Koto. The Shulchan Aruch gives a simon. The simon is We say in Shemoneh Esrei, "V'chol hachayim yoducha tzela." All living people should thank you. So the Shulchan Aruch. This is in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not just something cutesy, Lucy. This is right here in the Shulchan Aruch. Chayim. The word chayim. The ches stands for chavush, a person who was jailed. The yud. The first yud stands for yisudim, meaning somebody who had suffered illness. The second yud stands for yam, one that goes down to the sea. And the mem of chayim stands for midbar, desert. These are the four that have to give thanks to God. All right. Oh. Yes, a good kasha. Because the Shulchan Aruch has to point out, Hani Arba, these four Lamdatka. It doesn't mean necessarily these four, and by the way, we will see that it is a Machloket HaRishonim. There are those who say that these four are just examples that are given of the kind of danger that people can find themselves in. Now, if there's anything of a similar nature, you know. Today we have the question, it's hard to the question, if it's person's car is pelted with stones, or there are shots fired toward one's car, plus at the bench, gunner. That's a, we're not talking about going through an area with a tank and somebody throws one rock at it. We're talking about, you know, there could be grave danger. So there are two opinions. One opinion is, Hani Arfor, these four lav dafka. Doesn't necessarily mean just these four. To who has been released, Nasalones, anybody else to whom something happened of some kind of a miraculous nature. A wall fell on him. He was saved from a bull, an ox was after him to gore him. Or a lion came toward him. Thieves. A house was robbed. You know, they can be great danger. They all have to bench Gomel. And then there's another opinion that says only these four and none other. The Mishnah Berurah says that our minhag is that anybody who has gone through some kind of a situation where there was a degree of danger has to bench Gomel. There is also a big difference between Sfardim and Ashkenazim. Sfardim are much more liberal in benching Gomel. According to Sfardim, somebody had the flu. If one had to be bedridden for 3 days, that's called an illness. That's a choli. Oh, the choli doesn't have to mean that somebody is at the gates of death and is brought back to it. According to the, certainly anybody who has had an illness that, you know, something like an illness. Certainly anyone who has undergone an operation. And even what's called a minor operation. As somebody once told me, a minor operation is the operation that somebody else has. There is no such thing as a minor operation. In halacha, there's no such thing as a minor operation. An operation is an operation. Even a surgical procedure that can be done in a doctor's office is a surgical procedure. And you make you bench Gomel on it. There are those who talk about a woman who has lost a child, a miscarriage. Already a miscarriage, like a cleaning that comes after a miscarriage, already is considered something that is not fraught with danger. DNC, that's a DNC. All right. One of the reasons why I wanted to talk specifically about this halacha is that I found something that I had never noticed before, and it was just historically very interesting. On the second side of the sheet, you have no way of knowing which is the first and which is the second, but the second side of the sheet, on the right hand side, down at the bottom, it says Rav Moshe Feinstein. that Moshe Feinstein, the title is the Inyan Chiyut Isha B'Birchat HaGomel, is a woman. Did I say, you know, I just can't say less anymore. So you have to understand the title of this response is the Inyan Chiyuv Isha the Birchat HaGomel, is a woman obligated to say the Birchat HaGomel. So everything is very important here. It's the last Yom Chamishi HaAchron Mishnas Shabbat, that Tavshin Mem Dalet, the last Thursday of that year, Le'elef HaShishi, Hashem Etchav Manachnu Shaitav Ratzon L'Nachas L'Fan HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We hope that this was a good year, that God accepted us willingly during the course of this year. That was 1984. The next paragraph is who he's writing this to, and then there he begins to say the halacha. He made the etzem, in fact, ein makom ve'ein tam lechalek b'chiyuv brachot birchot ha'hoda'a bein ish l'isha. He says, the fact is, it's so simple the way he writes it. There's really no reason, he can't think of any reason why we should differentiate in birchot ha'hoda'a, a block of thanksgiving between men and women. Well, a woman doesn't have to give thanks like a man. I mean, he just says it straight. I mean, it's so clear. And he says, whatever a man should say the bracha, so the truth is everything applies to a woman as well. Ach iket bodim shehechmidu chachamim ba'open ha'asiyo. Now he's beginning to say something. He says, however, there are certain things where our rabbis were stricter in the way in which something is done. And that is, sheyivorech hachayav livrodatka ba'asara uviyom ha'kriya. For a man, well, he says, the Shulchan Aruch says that a person should say the bracha on a day that they read the Uba Aminyan, on a day that they read the Torah, and after a person has been called to the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch says, if it's not possible for him to get an aliyah for whatever reason it is, mevarech al habima, he says the bracha on the bima, taketh achar kriyas haTorah, immediately after kriyas haTorah. Now, there's even an opinion which is kind of that's important, that in the first instance, the bracha should be said within 3 days of the time that one. Somebody, a woman is given birth, and by the way, over there they say she can wait as long as she wants until she's feeling well and can come to shul, then she can say the bracha. But what happens if something happened on Monday and it will be more than 3 days till the next Kriyas HaTorah? So a person has the right to say it in the presence of a minion on Tuesday or Wednesday, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Monday afternoon, anytime he wants. And it's interesting, the fact is that the bracha of HaGomel has nothing to do with Birchat HaTorah or with the Torah. I imagine that the only reason for it is because that way the bracha is said in the presence of a lot of people. And a person should thank God, not like Baruch Hashem, but he should thank God and tell everybody, you should know, Baruch HaGomel L'Chayav Mutovah. There's another bracha like this, the bracha of Baruch Shepatrani Mionshe Shozeh, that a father says before when a child is bar mitzvah. That the father of the son reads, he says this when the son is called to read in the Torah of the Rebbe. It says the bracha of Baruch Shepatrani Mionshe Shozeh does not apply to a woman because women don't get aliyahs. women don't get aliyahs. Don't feel bad about it. You just don't get aliyahs. We have a lot of other things going for you in life. All right? Now, what's in the small print is maybe the main reason, well, probably the main reason why I wanted to learn this tshuva. Ad kan k'tav yad kocho shamaran v'chitzavik v'kocho kodesh l'vracha. This was the last responsa that Moshe wrote in his lifetime. Now watch. He passed away a few months after this. Zu haita tshuva achrona shekatav be'etzem k'tav yodal, the last responsa that he wrote with his own handwriting. There were other pisti halacha that he gave orally afterwards, but he couldn't write anymore. And the Moshe, I watched him, the times that I watched him, without a sefer, just the Gemara in front of him, he was able to write non-stop. And he wrote, he was an extremely prolific writer, you have no idea what the man wrote. Now watch this. The Nisho Lekotvon tried to write this tshuva three times. Actually, he had to put the pen down, Machmatoshi Hariya, because he was having difficulty seeing. He couldn't see. K'tivot, k'tivat shurot eilen nimshetot kama sha'ot. These few lines over here took him a number of hours to write. Under normal circumstances, he could have written this in a matter of minutes. It took him hours, and he couldn't finish the tshuva. So he finished the tshuva ba'al peh, verbally. Al peh hoseh, al peh he added, shalot kedahedi v'nishnabu in tishkot and gimel, shetavara v'tmei asora, al komponim v'tmei noshim, v'ish echad, ela she'en ginyin v'ninyin shal noshim. This is a groundbreaking shakalot. He says, a minyan is only necessary to men. A woman can say birkat hagomel without a minyan, as long as she says it in the presence of one or two people. And if she's married, she should simply say it in the presence of her husband. She doesn't need a minyan. She doesn't need... This is an extremely... Well, I had a pastor like that. I just found it recently, this tshuva. Anybody who passed him that a woman should say Birchat HaGomel, which I've always done, I made it sure that it was a minion. As I said, I made sure there was a minion in the Wednesday. Rav Meisher says the halacha of a minion was only a requirement for men. Women say the bracha straight in front of a husband, say it in front of a friend, or she wants two friends. That's it. This is it. That was the last. This is the last tshuva that we had from our nation. Okay, we got to get to the parish. There's a lot more yet to talk about the halacha. Hodu Lashem ki tov ki yolam chazal. Thank God because He is good. Ki la olam chazal, His kindness is forever. You don't have to turn over. I'm going to get you all mixed up turning over back and forth. But let me tell you, the Malbim at the beginning of this, you know what, you want to look, I'm not going to hide it from you. The Malbim is here on the other side, the top of the page, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the top. He's going to give us a definition. What's chesed? We say Hodu Lashem ki tov ki yolam chazal. What's the definition of chesed? It says Hodu. No, I don't want to read Hodu yet. Go to the next line. Because that first line in the Malbim is really going to be the subject of the shiur. The second line. Yodu Hashem Ki Tov, the Yodu Chazdo. You have the Malbim? Count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. End of the fifth line. On the left hand side of the Malbim. Alright. Yodu Lashenkito, the Yodu Chazo, Asher La'olam, Ki La'olam Chazo, means thank Him for His kindness, which is eternal. It is forever. Umavu'ar. Just, you have to read this sentence, you have to know it. One thing that is clear, and he says this a number of places in Tanakh, Ki chesed yomar al kol alma she'oseh mibli chiyuv. The definition of chesed is something that's done without obligation. I wasn't obligated to do it. Here, of course, we're talking about God. There is no obligation. Umibli haftocha kodemet. Even if there was no guarantee or promise or assurance from God beforehand that he's going to do such and such. And third, even if the person who is the beneficiary of this kindness is unworthy of it. Or, you know, we think he's unworthy. We don't know who's worthy or who's unworthy. We don't have a clue. The Gemara says in one place, I think it was a Shin Min Yechoy, who said, you know, he had been up there and he came down and he said, Olam Hafuch Ra'isi, I saw a topsy-turvy world. The people who we thought were so important down here are, you know, just run-of-the-mill up there. And then simple people who we thought are nothing great, nothing to talk about, are extremely important on there. Up there. We don't have a clue. We don't have a clue. But you hear what he's saying? God's kindness is, number one, it's eternal. Number two, even if there was no obligation on God's part, even if he made no promise in advance, and the most important thing is, even if the person, the beneficiary, is not worthy of it, those who said, can't be that Israeli soldiers on the Chol Shabbos or Echol Chesed, God is going to bring miracles to them. Nonsense! That's anti-Semitism from within our religious community. Chesed is, by its definition, means that the person upon whom it's being bestowed is not necessarily worthy or maybe unworthy of it, but this is God's chesed. That's how it expresses itself. I'm going to do it for you even though you're not worthy. I, by the way, hold that there's no such thing as the Jewish people being unworthy. Okay. Yodu hodu Hashem shito kilolam chasov. The gam chesed eitel Hashem b'mubano hameduyak ba'al hanes l'malo m'dera hateva. There's another meaning to the word chesed. It is something that is beyond, goes beyond the norm. There's something unusual and exceptional. It's nest-like. Back to the truth. Yonu gulei Hashem Hashem ko'olam yatzor. Those who are redeemed by God, that God has redeemed from the hand of an oppressor. Now I want to tell you that there are two approaches as to what the whole chapter is talking about. There are those who say that the whole chapter is talking about individuals who went through any one of these four trying periods of time, and then they emerged from it unscathed or unharmed. So they say, Hagom lechayovim tovish in Mulani Kotov. The Malbim, and I even have proof that Rashi holds like this, and it really begins with one of the Rishonim, the Me'iri, and we have the Me'iri on the other side. He makes it very clear. Do you know what this chapter is talking about? It's not talking about four individuals that went through difficult times. It's talking about the history of the Jewish people of 2,000 years. Whatever is going to be mentioned in this chapter has happened to the Jewish people in the history of the last, this past Golus. And do you know when they're supposed to thank God? When he finally brings them back home. It's a chapter that's not talking of an individual who was sick and now he came out of the hospital. Sure, he has to say a block. By the way, it doesn't mean four different groups of the Jewish people, because he says all of these four have happened to the Klal Yisrael as a whole. Happened to all of us. Jew went through more than one
Mossad went to all of them. Sick from the concentration camps. Incarcerated, jailed. The journey out, crossing who knows what.
You came with the illegal immigration? No? You didn't end up in Cyprus? Why aren't you in Cyprus?
Of course.
They sent you to Cyprus. So you went from one concentration camp to another concentration camp. Alright?
And the British and the racist, that was the.
Yes. And you came by Yam. Alright? So all of these four, the Malbim says everything happened to the Jewish people. And this chapter 107 is, as the Pesukim say it, Yomru Geulei Hashem, those who are redeemed by God. Asher Ge'olam, he redeemed them from the hands of an oppressor. U'me'aratot Kitzam, and he gathered them in from the nations of the world. Mi'mizrach, mi'marach, mi'tzafon, mi'yam, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the islands or ocean lands throughout the world. This is the heading. Take a look on the other side of the Me'ili, down at the bottom of the page. Me'ili is a Rishon, we're talking about 700 years ago. Nidali says, it seems to me, Shezeha Mizmar Nema, this Mizmar was said prophetically, Binevua, Al Hagu'ula Mizeha Golos Hora. He was 700 years away from it. And he says that when we're going to come out of this long exile, Shanachnu bo b'tzaros g'dolos, that in this exile we are in terrible trouble. The Hizkir bo, and he mentions Dalid Mine Tzaros, four kinds of tzaros that we're in. And of course he's talking about all of Klal Yisrael. Harishona, Halicha b'shevi b'eretz mer hakim, the first is being taken into captivity in distant lands. Tamid. And how do we take? They take us derech nidbar, derech chaveva, through desert and dry and parched land. The sovlim rav, the tzamei, we suffer from hunger and thirst. Vashmiya, heyotom yukav, the shchitut ma'asar. The second is that we're trapped in prisons. Vashlishi, heyotom miduka b'choloyim. The third is that people are broken by illness as a result of the incarceration. Those who are taken into captivity, and I'm learning it one step further, those who have to go through the Yam in order to make it back to Eretz Yisrael. Gam came that the soul and tzar hayam, they suffer the pain of the sea, the hamon, galov, and all of its waves. He says these four are only representative, because most of the tzaros that come upon people are included one way or another in these four. What it means is they are tortured with all sorts of tzaros. When God is going to redeem them, they will be saved from all of this. They should thank him. Be a first when you flow tablet may Adam, and they should make known his miracles to men. Be a shubu la'artum hachareva, and here he's borrowing from the psukim that are going to come at the end of this chapter. They're going to return to their land that is desolate. Be yachonu b'ir moshav, they're going to establish cities in which to dwell. Be atzlichu b'chol mini atzlachos, and they're going to be successful in all sorts of success. It's amazing how he hits the nail on the head. First of all, I hear shades of a cook over here, and it's going to come out in the psukim. At first, they're going to come back and they're going to establish cities, they're going to plant, they're going to be food. And by the end of the chapter, we also talk about a development of a moral and a religious way of life. In other words, it really is a description of everything that we're going through. But ultimately, in other words, Rav Kook is the one who said on the Pasuk in Parashat B'chukotai, and we say it in davening before Shema, that we ask God that He should bring us kol miniut li'arzenu, kol miniut, standing upright. So Rav Kook learned it, kol miniut meaning two komot, two stories, two floors. Says if a Kwanzaa comes back to Eretz, so the first thing that has to be done is the bottom floor. The bottom floor is you have to have homes, you have to have farms, you have to have an economy, you have to have an army. And on that floor, you build the tashtit, the infrastructure. And on top of that tashtit, you build the second floor. The second floor is the spiritual floor. And that's going to come to the fore as we go through this chapter over here. It means, therefore, according to the Me'iri, that this chapter is very well suited for Yom HaAtzmaut. And if we now take a look in the first line in the Malbim, four lines to the top, Hodu. And he takes his clue, the chapter before, the one that preceded. Oh, I don't have it in my other Tanakh. I have the chapter before. The chapter before, 106. Oh, here I have it. The end of 106 says, Hoshienu Hashem Elokeinu, save us, God, the Kapseinu min Hagoyim, and gather us in from the nations, lehodot l'shem kotecha, to thank your holy name, lehishtabeach v'tehilatecha, that we should speak your praise. So the end of that chapter was talking about begging God that he should bring us back. So now the mountain says, achach tehizkir kibbutz golios, after he mentioned the ingathering of the exiles, omer. So he said, "Shiachshavim min hagolah, those who return from the exile, yizbechu zibchei todah, they will bring sacrifices of todah, al kol harvod dvarim shetzvichim lahodos, for all these four things that one has to thank God for." One other statement about the korban todah. The korban todah was very interesting. A person who had to bring an animal for a korban todah, korban of thanksgiving, with the animal come 40 breads. 40 breads. Four different kinds. 10 of them are chametz. The other three are three different kinds of matzah. With oil, on the outside, it's all korbanot mincha, 40 bread. You know how much time a person has to eat this korban? The day on which it's slaughtered, and that night until chatzot. And he's like this. Fellow brings the korban todah, let's say they slaughter it, okay, he got in early, at 11 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock, right? He's got a behind him, you understand. A lot of steak, sirloin, all sorts of cuts, any cut he wants. And he has 40 breads. And he has a time limit. And anything that's left over afterwards, a carbon toga does not have to be eaten on the Temple Mount. It can be eaten within the confines of the walls of Yerushalayim. Do you know what the Torah has done over here? The Torah has made it of an absolute necessity that he's going to make a Todah party. You understand? He has to have people who are going to share with him this Suda. There's no way in the world. The Ram Vesting, the Ram Baltashkas, you'll throw out a ganze animal. Torah wanted to force him into the position that he's going to invite everybody to come join him for a good stick of flesh and a choice of four different kinds of breads and matzah. That's the carbon powder. Yes. It should be what? There should be no one hungry then. All right. Oh, there's no question about it that in Yerushalayim, I don't think anybody went hungry until the siege of the city. But in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, no question about it, that people, there were always people that had to bring the korban todah. And the purpose of it was to share one should share his experiences and his thankfulness with as many people as he can. It's not like a guarded secret. You have to tell people. All right, let's get another few psukim in. There's going to be a lot of fascinating things in the psukim itself. The first one is Tohu Bamidbar V'Yishimon. They wandered in the wilderness. Yishimon is desolation, a place that's even worse than Midbar. There's a word Dorech over here that the Mepharshim don't know what to do with the word, choosing what to do with the word Dorech. The way I understand it, the Pasuk is saying three things. Tohu Bamidbar, they wandered through a desert. Tohu Bayishimon, they wandered in an area of desolation. Tohu Dorech, they wandered on the road. They lost. You made a wrong turn. Ir Moshav Lo Matzahu, they didn't find a city where they can dwell. I believe also, I've seen some of the verses that say this, that the word Dorech, and you will have words in Tanakh. I once was putting together a list of them, words that go both ways. Dorech is part of the first half of the pasuk, and Dorech is also part of the second part of the pasuk, as though it would have said Tohu Bamidbar B'Yishimon Dorech, Dorech Ir Moshav, the road to a city that is inhabited, Lo Matzo, they didn't find. The Avim, Gamsamei, they're hungry and they're also thirsty. Nafsham Bahem Kis'ata, their life grew faint within them. I don't like this translation, soul. There got to be a better soul seems to be talking of something spiritual, and nefesh does not mean the spiritual neshama, the neshama that comes from heaven. Not the word nefesh really means life. That's it exactly. Ras chayim. Not some their life felt faint when God at creation creates kol nefesh chaya. Can you talk about the souls of the animals? No, it means life. The life force in a human being is the nefesh. So that's one of my little disagreements. And they always, without fail, they translate nefesh as soul, and it's not soul. It's the life force within the human being. We're talking about somebody who's hungry and somebody who's thirsty. But Yitzakul Hashem, Fatzalehem. Now you're going to see, this is one of the psukim that will appear four times, because it's going to appear by each one of the four, but there will be very slight differences, and you're going to have to point that out to me. That okay? They cried out to God in their distress, when it was difficult for them. Nivitzukoteim yatzilei, from their straits or distress. When a doctors use the term a baby that's being born and something begins to go wrong with the birth, mitsukah, in distress. Huh? Mitsukah nafshit, it can be mitsukah of all sorts. They say mitsukah. So they called out to God, and then v'yadrichim b'derech yishara, he led them on the straight path. Now the word yishara, I believe, means two things. That he gives them the direction they have to get out of the desert. But the word yishara also has another meaning. Not only does he lead them, in his straight path to find the city, but straight path of a spiritual nature. Lalecha el'ir moshav, so they should be able to go to a city that's inhabited. What's their response? He has now taken them out of the tzara. Yodu Hashem chazda, they will thank God for his chesed. V'niflo tav l'bnei adam, and they're going to tell his wonders to people. That's the responsibility. The Rebbeinu did something for you. You cried out to him. He heard you. He answered your cries. this pasuk Yodu Lashem Chazdov in Yisloatav with Neyadan is going to appear how many times in this chapter? Anybody want to guess?
Four times.
Four times. It's doing very good. It's doing good. Now there's another kind of pasuk that's going to come after every Yodu Lashem Chazdov except one, and you'll have to. There's always a pasuk that begins with the word ki, because, and it describes what he did for them. He is beyond nefesh shokeka, because he slaked a life that was thirsting for water. Shokeka is somebody who wants water badly, and his beyond, when you slake one's thirst, you are satisfying his need for water. The nefesh the eva. You see, I don't like soul. The life in the human being that was hungry, milei tov, he filled it with good. One, that's it. Second, we've now already done Midbar, the one who is in the desert. The next one. Ah, yes, I'm going to have to figure out why we say it by. Let's see if we can figure out why we say it by kapara. Very good. Hey, don't be afraid. You know, speak up sometimes. Not too often, but. Good. Yoshei Choset with Salmavet. Those who live in darkness, Salmavet is even darker than darkness. The shadow of death. Aside Oni Ubarzel. Asidim and Asir is one who's shackled, who's bound, who's incarcerated. Aside Oni comes from the word affliction. Matzah is called Lechem Oni, and one of the reasons is because Vavodim V'inu Osam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram by the Brisbane Avram that your children are going to be enslaved for 400 years. Vavodim, they will enslave them. V'inu Osam, they are going to torture them. It's more physical torture. So here, these are bound, they are bound by torture Ubazo. There's a. Or there's a, you know, I even forgot how we used to say it in English.
Yeah.
The Masach HaBarzel?
Uh-huh.
An iron curtain. I couldn't even remember how to say it. Isn't that a sign of advice? Exactly. Oh, how many times we talked about the iron curtain? So now, of all things, I remembered it in Hebrew and I couldn't say it in English. 20 years in Israel, and you forget your English. Huh?
My story, I have a friend who said that the longer you stay here, the more you become semi-lingual.
That's a very good one.
Yeah.
Not bilingual, semi-lingual. All right, the Iron Curtain. Ki Himru Imreel. This is going to be a very important part of this chapter. The chapter does not hide the possibility and the probability, and this may be difficult, just withhold any comments, because they rebelled against God. There's a reason why it happened. Ki himru in they ail, because they rebelled against the word of God. Batsat elyon no otsu, and the counsel of the Almighty One they rejected. And you know what he does? Not always so. Not always so. But God will humble the sinfulness of man through suffering. Suffering has a purpose. There may be many purposes for suffering. Then of course we get into the issue of do righteous people suffer? Of course righteous people suffer. So obviously there has to be more than one reason for suffering, not only because they have rejected the words of God. He subdued, he humbled their hearts with the toil of suffering. Koshlu, they stumbled. They ain't ozer, there's nobody to help them. There's nobody around to help them. Vayizakul Hashem, second time the prophet. Vayizakul Hashem batalahem, and they cried out to God. Huh? Right? This is similar to Pasuk 6. Similar But different. And by Yitzhaku, one is with a tzaddik and one with a Zion. And there's a difference between the two. Tzaka is worse or more intense than Zaka. And Hatzalah is a stronger form of redemption than Yeshua. Yeshua always leaves the impression that God is helping out. Right? Melech Ozer Umoshia. You're doing something, and God is Moshiach, He helps. Hatzalah, as the word usually means, people who are incapable of doing anything for themselves, and He is Matzil. So what we have to say is that in a sense, the difficulties that are faced by a person who's out in the desert are his greater desperation on his part. He's completely lost. The one who's in prison, at least he knows where he is. This fellow doesn't know where he is at all. I'll give you an example. When Esav comes into his father's tent, and he all of a sudden it strikes him that the father has given the blessings to Yaakov. So it says, by Yitzhak, for the tzaddik, so'oko gedolo umora. He cried out a cry of pain and anguish. Mordechai finds out about the plan for the final solution of the Jewish people. It says that he went out into the streets of Shushan by Yitzhak Zohar Gedolah Umara. One is by Yitzhak and the other is by Yitzhak, using what the Malbim says, that by Yitzhak is expresses even greater pain than by Yitzhak. I wanted to say, I think there may even mean some merit to what I want to say. There's a big difference between one who has no God and cries out in pain, and one who has a God and cries out in pain. Esav is an Esav. He knows that at this moment of his great pain, he's crying out into the vacuum of the world. He has nobody. There's no address. Who is he crying to? Well, what does he want? Who's going to help him? Mordechai goes out into the streets of Shushan, and he cries out. There's an address there. He knows who he's crying to. And he knows that there's somebody up there who's going to come to his aid and his assistance. That's all. You have a proof? Oh, the proof comes. You have a proof too? That's nice. By stone, God says, Hakitsa'akata. The tzaka, that's the tzaka of absolute despair that comes up from stone. Very good. What's the proof? We didn't plan this, by the way, Dad. Yes, Daber Bnei Yisrael. Nice. The only reason I say nice is because I'm afraid that I'll find some topic that I'll have difficulty explaining. But right now it looks like I'm safe. Nobody's come up with a topic that yet. What she said is that if Esau was so upset about not having a brother, he must have had some belief in Hashem. I don't know what happens if all that Esau wants is a bigger piece of the pie than Yaakov has. I mean, you know, a dispute over an inheritance is not something that is limited to people who believe in God. Because the police look in and haggle, and you know, and give all the money to the lawyers. Yeah. Yes. Oh, but listen. That doesn't fit in with what I'm saying. You have to be honest. No, but so we have to go into an understanding of who was Esau, what was Esau. But I'll tell you, there's another reason why I did it. It's because the Gemara at one place says that the punishment for Esau's cry was Mordechai's cry. Chazal say, Esau didn't know this, that a real cry of pain and a tear never goes lost. And the fact is, Esau should not have gotten the brachas, but he suffered just a little bit more pain than he should have. And the kapara, the atonement, was going to be Mordechai going out into the streets of Shushan by Yizak the Ochor Gedol Amor. It's the same pasuk, same word, except for the difference between the tzaddik and the zayin. So therefore I think, now I think of something else. His was greater pain than Mordechai, because some of the pain he deserved. The punishment is going to come only for the little more that he had. So while his was tzaka, Mordechai became only tzaka. Not bad, you've inspired me. Now what happens? They were in darkness and the shadow of death, and God takes them out of the darkness and the shadow of death. They had been bound, the shackles that bind them, he will tear asunder. So what are they going to do? They will thank God for his kindness, and they will express his miracles and his wonders to people. Key, the puppy that comes after is what happened? Key Shiva itself, because God has broken the walls of copper of metal. How do they translate Bidichim? Huh? For he smashed copper gates and cut asunder iron bolts. A Bidiach. Oh, a Rav Bidiach. That's not you, Israelis. You know what? But by the way, the word Bidiach is very correct in the Rav Bidiach. The only example, remember years ago, 100 years ago, we went to the movies, and the Indians are coming, and all the settlers, they were called settlers there, make their way into the fort. So then you close the door of the fort, and the most important thing is at the last minute to get that. Yeah, what's that called? It's a bolt, that's a bariach. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, you know? The bariach. So it's like it holds the two parts of the door together. The Rav Bariach also works that way because it goes into the wall. The Brichei Basel, the Rav Bariach of metal Gizea, he cut. Evilim Yiderech Pisham. He's now going to the third. And here, by the third already, he tells us the reason in advance. Evilim, it is translated fools. Fools because of the way their sinful path, but that's not a precise meaning of the word evil. Evilim Yiderech Pisham, I'll explain in a moment, who may have unattained the course of their sins, yet anu, they're going to suffer. The Malbim, in a number of places, mainly in Mishlei, and he says it here too, there's a very precise definition to an Evil. An Evil is not one who rejects God. Evil, he says, comes from the word Ulai. It has the letters Ulai. In other words, the one who's in doubt.
An
agnostic, or one who claims to be agnostic, or one who's not so sure. By the way, Evilut can even by an observant Jew, if he's making a lot of money and he thinks that a lot of money is because of his own efforts and not God's will, that's in a sense a rejection of God. And so God doesn't exist. You know, when I need him, I call upon him. When I don't need him, because I'm taking care of myself pretty good, that's not a complete belief in God. That's the ulai. The one who's, Eliyahu HaNavi is the one who expressed it best. When he has the Jewish people on the Har HaKarmel, he says, Ad Masai, how long atem potchim al shtei hatzivim? How long are you going to be wavering is a good word. The word se'ipim there, by the way, means thoughts. How long are you going to be caught in this? The two thoughts, he exists, he doesn't exist. The avil, because the fact is, while one is in doubt, what it really means is, it brings man to sinfulness. Avilim, yiderech pisham, me'avonotayim yit'anu, will do one more, and continue in Yes Hashem after Yom HaTzmut. He's talking about people who are sick. Kol ochel t'tav nafshem, all food is something that's rejected by them. A person who's sick, really sick, can't eat. Vayagiu atsharim avet, and they reach the gates of death. Vayizakul Hashem batzalehem, mimitzukotehem yoshien. Same as the one before. There's no key. Here it just says, Yishlach devarov yirpeh, he sends his word and he heals them. V'yimaleit yishchitotam, and he rescues them from their own destruction. And therefore what? The key is supposed to come the next part. Wait. Yodol Hashem chazdo. They thank God, this is some dripmo. Yodol Hashem chazdo. Then it's lotam v'lei adam. And instead of the key that should come now, it says something that wasn't said before. He didn't mention the Korban Todah before, that they will slaughter the Todah offering and they will relate his deeds in great songs. All of a sudden now he talks about the Korban Todah. Therefore the Malbim learns that all of these things are happening to the Jewish people, and there's a process that they're going through. After the first sorrow that they go through, they cry out to God, they're answered, but they're not yet, they haven't made it all the way back. By the second sorrow, they've also cried out, got them out of it, but just, you know how it is. Well, what's the famous story of, woman is crossing the bridge, and the bridge is shaking, it's going to fall apart. God Almighty, I promise I'm giving $1 million to charity. Okay. And it stuck. Then she thinks to herself, God, $1 million, and it's a brick, but take it again. God, can't you take a joke? In a sense, what it means is we forget very quickly. We forget very quickly. And we, it seems to be a sort of natural that we go back to our ways. There are moments of great inspiration and moments when we feel overwhelmed by a sense of God's presence. And then passes. I don't know, was it yesterday? When was it? I heard them singing how Titzel, was it at Auschwitz or at Yad Vashem? At the Tekes, I had chills running up and down my spine. I haven't had that feeling in such a long time, and I was mummish moved by that. Because our moments of inspiration, they don't last long, they go. By the third sorrow that they've been through deserts, they've been through prisons and concentration camps, they've been through illness, and they have arrived at Shabbat Mother, the gate of death. Finally they see, God, I'm not playing any jokes, no more jokes on you. The Yizdechu Sizchei Todah, they're going to bring the sacrifices of Todah to Yishapru Mouth of Bedina, and they are going to tell all that God has done with great joy. That's the situation of Klal Yisrael. We're going through a difficult time. I have a lot to say about that, or at least I'm beginning to think and coming up with a lot of stuff about that. There's three words in the Gemara. Gezeira Avidi Debrachli. Gezeira means a difficult decree against the Jewish people will pass from the scene. There will be better days over here. Right now it looks as though we're in a struggle that we'll never get out of. And yes, Hashem, and here in Mamish, there's nobody that can get us. I believe in Muna Shlema, there's nobody but God that can get us out of this struggle. Sharon can help a little bit, FDA come even more, and of course when the Tanya comes back, well,
oh, yeah.
It's all the Rabbani Shalom. Chag Sameach, everybody. Yes? Oh yes, there's a Haftanah tonight at 7 o'clock on Rehov Agron, right by the American Consulate, I think. I would love 100,000 people to be there. Powell, go home. The American government is unbelievable. The hypocrisy of the American government. Don't get me on that. They're slouching toward Gemara. Elizabeth, you're going to get the book back. If I would have known you were coming, I would have rung it.